I am called to set a vision for where we're going. We are a microcosm of what God wants to do in these last days. We are carrying mysteries that are going to get released globally. These mysteries are some of the highest levels of mystery there is. I want to share with you what God has in mind for our generation. Amen. We're all in one place or another, following, dwelling, fellowshipping. But I'm going to share with you what God has in mind, because if you have a compass and know what He wants to do, and you know where He wants to take us, and what His fullness is, what His full mind is, when you have a compass for these things, you're going to be able to move into it. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord gave me this progression, where we came from, where we are, and where we're going. And I call it salvation, reconciliation, and restoration. Those are three major phases in the mind of God for this generation. Amen. This is going to be fully achieved. It's going to be walked in, not by one, not by two, but a remnant is going to walk in all three phases. Now, we know at the fall, I'm going to exhort this part, and God made man in His image and after His likeness. He made us a spiritual being. That was His image. After His likeness is we walked in fellowship with the Father. We walked in love. Adam walked in love. He walked in fellowship. He was clothed, covered with God. And because of that, the natural effect of being in true fellowship with God is that man had dominion. When the Father's present, when God is present, man is going to have, there's an automatic dominion that takes place. What's not going to happen is dominion is going to be accomplished by man without God dwelling with man. It's not going to be accomplished by the simple gift realm that comes and goes. It has to come by a full indwelling. That's what Adam had. That's what God's going to restore. Amen. And so we know through the fall, the first thing that happened when the fall came is the separation entered in through the sin. And when the separation entered in, man immediately lost his covering. The first thing they did is they could see each other. They were naked. They were naked before. The glory of God covered them. They were covered in the glory of God. They couldn't see that because they were in a state of innocence. That's the state of accountability. Accountability happens when you know you're naked. As long as you're in that state of innocence, every child born with that state of innocence, if they die prematurely, they'll all go to heaven until that innocence shifts. But that's the day they knew they were naked. And immediately, what'd they do? What happened? Separation came in. Fear came in. They went and hiding came in. They went and hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. When fear came in, because of the separation, the whole world system was built off that separation, was built off that rejection that man felt. God didn't reject him. Man felt rejected. And because that everything was built, all the systems of fear, every fear imaginable and unimaginable, fear you can see and fear you can't see. We don't naturally believe we're afraid of anything, but fear can dwell in many different levels and many different systems. It's that fear that was the result of the separation of God that God had to do something about. The first thing He did is He had to restore man back into His image. Now, He did that when we were born again. That was the cross. That was salvation. When we were born again, we receive what? A new creation. Ever say, I am a new creation. You are not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. And now you are saved. Now you're a son. Amen. You do not carry the nature of a sinner in your spirit. But you are wearing a soul that's quite capable of sinning. And you're wearing a body that's definitely capable of sinning. Because those two didn't get born again. Your spirit did. You're a new creation. You're seated in the class of the Spirit. And you have the law of the Spirit of life dwelling in that new man. Amen. Now, the Lord had to do that because that was the first phase of an ultimate three-phase operation. The first phase, he had to give you a spirit that could ascend and enter back into the Father's presence or his love, to dwell with the Father in union. You can't dwell in union without that new creation. So when the Lord gave you the union that he speaks of, that you're in the Father and the Father's in you, that was given to you by grace. It's a union by grace that can only be attained by faith, by that new creation, entering and accessing by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Amen? So he had to give you this new man in order to enter into the Father. His ultimate phase, second phase restoration, was reconciliation to the Father. He wanted to restore man to the Father. The way he ultimately designed this, yes, the Father would come and visit. Yes, the Father would come and encounter us here. But ultimately, as we've been learning, he wanted us to go to where he is. He said, in my Father's house, there's many dwelling places. I'm going to go prepare a very specific, when I'm in prayer, I say that you've prepared a very specific room just for me and the Father. That where I am, there shall you be also. And he says, I'll receive you where I'm at. I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am in the Father, I'm going to bring you. That was an ultimate, that is the second ultimate grace. Well, it's probably the third salvation. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's the one helping us and teaching us about all this place. But the ultimate place he gave us with the Father was a place of grace. To dwell with the Father in perfect union. But you're going to have some skills to get there. You're going to have a few spiritual skills because it's a spiritual place. It's a different jurisdiction in the earth. And you got to learn to go over there. Amen? You got to go beyond the veil. To boldly go where no man's gone before. You're going to have to get the Star Trek anointing. You know, when they sit there and you have the whole open expanse and that it's sitting in and then they put it in the warp drive, you're going to have to learn to warp in the spirit. It's a jurisdictional transfer. God will warp drive you over there. Amen. Holy Spirit's going to help you. He's going to teach you how to transfer. He's going to teach you about jurisdictional transfer. He's going to teach you how to go through the door. He's going to teach you how to dwell, because ultimately, what does the Father want? Well, second ultimate is he wants you to be with him. Now, I didn't really realize the power of that. I'll be real honest with you. I've been in 20 years of ministry, and I knew 10 years, God, 10 years before that. So 30 years, I did not understand or realize the depth of the Father. Oh, my. I'd hear people talk about it, but I said, yeah, I got that. And they talk about the love. I said, yeah, I got all that. It's amazing how we're like this. You don't know till you know. And so he wants us to restore. When he, right at the turn of October of last year, he opened the Father. He did that. He was trying to get me up there before, but just when he opened that ram, I mean, ever since then, it's just almost daily with the Father. And it gets ever increasingly more glorious and wonderful. I describe it to you. You're sitting there. Arian, all of a sudden you move into this honey. It's always warm. I don't know why. It's like honey presence. It fills you without. It fills you within. And you get caught up with him. And I mean, it's the most beautiful love. But it's a love that transforms, conquers. And he set it up that way. That we would be with him and dwell with him. He said, in that day, he said, in a little while, he goes, I'm with you. But in a little while, I'm going to go from you, and then you'll see me again. John 14:19 said, in a little while, the world seeth me no more. The world's not going to see me anymore the way they've been seeing me. But you say, you see me, but you're going to see me. You're not going to see me with your eyes that you've been seeing me with, but you're going to see me with a different eye, the eye of faith. I'm going to teach. He's telling them, I'm going to teach you how to see me where I am. I'm going to go away to an invisible place. Listen, all they knew, he was with them. They didn't know anything about, could you imagine, he's telling them this stuff in the upper room. They don't have a clue. They don't even know what it means to be born again yet. He says, listen, all this I'm telling you, because the Holy Spirit's going to come and remind you, and he's going to teach you, and he's going to help you. But I got to release these words. They didn't understand him. In fact, in John 16, they're still trying to think, what is he talking about? In a little while, he's going to leave. In a little while, he's going to come back. In a little while, we're going to be with him. What is he talking about? He says, in a little while, the world will not see me, but you will see me. And that day, I'm going to bring you to where I am in the Father. You're going to see me with the eye of faith that's been enlightened by the Word. Amen? You're going to see me. Say, see me. And at that day, you shall know that I dwell in my Father. You dwell in me, and I in you. He gave you the gauntlet right there. Amen? You're going to know that you're in my Father. So he's going to bring us to where he is. Amen? In love. I'm in that day right now. Some of you are getting into that place. I am living in that day right now. I can honestly say before you, before heaven and earth, I am in half that day. I'm where he is. He's not yet back here with me yet, but he shows up every once in a while, but not full dwelling. But man, it is just on. It is glorious. What he does here in verse 23, if you notice, he begins to say, this is phase two here. Phase two is he's bringing you into a state of reconciliation with the Father. Man, if we would do this God's way, he really, really designed the whole church to get born again. He goes, now, he set his power on them right away. He set his power on them. He'll set the power of God on you. He'll set the gift realm. He'll give you operations while you're pursuing him. That's why I said, covet earnestly the best gifts, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way to do this. Say, more excellent. More excellent. I'm glad I found it. More importantly, I'm glad I can teach you how to get there. It's been part of our path, not just to find these things, but lay a pathway down, roadmap. Amen? To the Father. Reconciliation is in the heart of God for this generation. The Father wants his sons and daughters fully reconciled. See, people think reconciliation is to the cross. Reconciliation is not to the cross. The cross was phase one. Reconciliation is back into union with the Father. Say union. Not just fellowship, union, oneness. God, the Lord Jesus, gave you his position. He says, my glory I give to you. The glory that I have with the Father, I give you my position. I give it to you. It's a gift of grace. You cannot earn it. You cannot deserve it. You can only access it, and you're going to have to do it by faith. And the reason you got to do it by faith is because you're going to have to take a boatload of your issues to the Father. Because you're not perfect on this side of the Father. I don't care who you are. I don't care how well you smile up in this church. Nobody in here is perfect. We all fall short of the Father's love. It don't matter how well you can smile and how well you can handle things. You can be Mary Poppins. I couldn't do the Mary Poppins thing. I was the Jack Daniels. But God loved this Jack Daniels. I mean, God was using me 2 or 3 weeks old in the Lord. I know how to restrain him the old and when I got into the new, but Jack Daniels will get you in a lot of trouble. Because God will use Jack Daniels, but he'll also get you in a whole lot of trouble. Amen? And if Jack Daniels is hurting, he's going to hurt a lot of people while God's using them. God will use you before you get to his love. So, what does he want? He wants to reconcile us. The Lord wants to reconcile. What's the last message he left with his apostles? He wants to reconcile us to the Father's love. He wants to reconcile us to union. You've been granted access to this. You can enter into this place by faith, but you're going to have light, illumination, revelation, doctrine, and faith to get there. And once you find out what's there, you'll never leave it. Not ever. Once you taste of that place like that. I remember Rick Joyner's book. He had that dream and that revelation. They were climbing up that mountain and that vision. They were climbing, 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 climbing. Finally, they reached the top of the mountain and the Father's love was up at the top of the mountain. And he sat there in the love of the Father. He just sat there and sat there and sat there. And the Lord said, it's time to go back. He goes, I don't want to go back. That I don't want to go back. He says, nobody wants to go back once they taste of this place. But he said, this place will go back with you. It's what happens when you start dwelling in the honey love of the Father and the glorious greatness of who he is. And the Lord, he's wanting to reconcile you to the Father. He is your mediator. He is your high priest. He's also your brother. He's there to help you get to the Father. Because he said, listen, if you knew where I was going, you would rejoice. Because I'm going to the Father. I'm going away. But if you really understood this, you would rejoice. And he said, how could we rejoice? You're leaving us. How can we possibly rejoice at that? You're leaving us. You've been with us. You're going to become a king. He was a king of another kingdom. Amen. And he says, if you knew these things, he goes, my Father's greater than I. Happy are you. Because my Father's greater, say greater than I am, but I'm going to bring it to him. Amen. This year, those of you, I hear the Spirit of the Lord that will seek the Lord with all of your heart, with all your strength. If you will seek the Lord with an honest, good heart and be careful not to get offended, because you get offended, the enemy will do everything he can to keep you away from that place. Because once you start dwelling there, he loses all authority over your life, and he knows it. The love of the Father is going to mow down every mountain. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, this year, if you will seek the Lord with all your heart, you're going to find the Father. And when you find the Father, you're well on your way to phase 3. Amen. And he said, he goes, if a man will love me, he will. Now, I got to say this. You need to listen to me very carefully. There's a lot of different approaches to God. A lot of people going in a lot of different directions into God. You got them going every direction. I've pretty much tried them all. I remember fasting my way into God. I did 5 21-day fast in a row. It was awesome. Not the fasting, but the result of it. Especially when I got to eat. You get into this place, you can fast your way into this place. But if you don't have anything to hold you there, what'll happen is when the fast is over and you're flowing, you'll start gradually going back to where you were. You don't know that. And it takes so much to maintain. The people have done it. They just maintain the fast. Some people just fast half the year. They just stay there. They want to stay in that pinnacle. I couldn't stay there. Tried a lot of different, tried to pray in tongues my way to God. 12 hours a day sometimes 16 hours a day. But I realized that I could pray in tongues all day long and sit right here. I can watch TV. I can watch the Texans play and pray in tongues. I don't need my mind to pray in tongues. I learned to read the Bible and pray in tongues. But I'm going to tell you something. This type of prayer that I'm talking about right now, of entering in and accessing the Father, will require you love the Father with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. It's going to take all of you to do it. If you do it, you're going to get the reward. The Father is the pearl of great price. He is the all in all of all things. He will make your life happy. He will remove your emptiness. He'll remove the void in you. He'll fill it. Only the Father can fill that void. You can't have a big enough ministry. Building structures. I remember when I was in that day. Man, I had vision for all that. And I was drawing out buildings and everything. Because something in me wanted some gratification. And that's the way I was going to go get it. And I thank God he didn't let me go that route, because there's no end to that kind of gratification. And sometimes congregations just become a mechanism to serve the gratification of somebody that can't get satisfied. Can't get enough. Can't have enough. So you can build an international ministry or international business looking for something on the inside. You understand that? Because you don't see what's motivating the heart, what's driving the heart. There's nothing wrong with success, but it needs to be on the foundation of the Father. That's why the Lord wants to restore us to the Father first, where He can restructure our soul, get our identity, like Anna was talking about, properly seated in the Father. Because once the Father becomes our identity, a lot of the need goes away. A lot of insecurity goes away. A lot of the dysfunctional behavior goes away. A lot of the emptiness goes away. So you don't need all of these things to satisfy. So you're in a more even place now to build in accordance to what He wants. Jesus said it like this. He goes, I've been sent from my Father. I'll do always those things that please Him. You won't always do that if you're full of need, because you're going to have to satisfy you. You're not going to get that fixed in the world. You're not going to get it fixed by ministry. You're not going to get it fixed by more power, more money. You're not going to get that fixed. But the Father can fix that. And if you will, but what happens, the enemy wants to take our faith, our drive, and our hunger and point it into a system that'll keep us rolling around here. Does that make sense? And when we're rolling around here, he'll keep us managed that way, because he wants to keep us out of the Father. His whole system is to keep us out of the Father, to keep us away from the Father. That's why Jesus said, I am the door. If by me any man entereth in, he will be saved. He'll go in and out of the Father, is what he was saying. He said, but the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. He put that right there in that scripture, because those thieves stand at that door. How few people even talk about this realm. Because most of ministry these days, most of what's being said and heralded, it's all about what's going on here. But if you let the Lord lead you by His words, He said, if a man will keep my words, him my Father will love. Well, does he not love me but then I'll keep His word? The Father is incapable of not loving you. He's unconditional. He's got so much of it. It's just unreal. What He's saying is, if man keep my words, I'll bring you to Him, and He will initiate His love tangibly into your life. You will be tangibly loved by the Father. I like to be tangibly. There is a certain renewing of the mind that helps to understand, because your faith needs to be renewed to know. To get through that veil, you're going to have to agree with God's word. Regardless if you feel loved or not, you have to believe that you're accepted in the Beloved. You can be full of rejection and betrayal, but you have to believe you're accepted there, because the Father won't receive if you don't believe it. But you've got to bring all that stuff into the Father, and when you do, He'll start unloading the old and putting in the new, because He's planting. The Father's planting. He's planting the love. He's planting the love. We all need it. Oh, do we need it? You won't know how much you need it till you get in it. You get into His love and you say, oh my God, I had no idea. So He initiates His love in a state of reconciliation. All the in Him scriptures, in that day you will dwell in me. I dwell in my Father and you're in me. That's all talking about the reconciliation to union with the Father. This is where we're all going. I am forerunning in this area. I don't mind telling you, it's glorious. I'll never come out of that place. Not as long as I live, I'll never come out of separation with the Father. Don't have to, don't want to. There's nothing that I have presently found in this world that can remotely satisfy me the way He does. Let's give Him glory forever. And let's give glory to the Lord Jesus for paving the way to Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We come unto the Father by the Lord Jesus. Isn't that glorious? Now, in closing, we've been talking a lot about this place. See, you got that. We got to keep doing it, because that's how we get you there, is keep putting that cup in front of you. I want to tell you about phase three. Amen? So we keep His words. If you want to know how to get into the Father consistently, I said all that for this reason. You got to keep His word. Because His word will uphold you. It won't be. How many of you ever gone to a conference and you got shot way high? And then all of a sudden, a couple months later, you went way down. Like, where was that 3 months ago? And you're always trying to get back to that place. The key is learning how to be upheld there in understanding you cannot uphold you there. You don't have it. Even your hunger, unless it is an extreme, rare, one out of probably 10,000 people can have the level of hunger that just stays there regardless. You can't keep yourself there, but his word can keep you there. And if you'll learn these words that he gave in John, especially the book of John's a whole doorway to the Father. The whole book is, really. But especially 12 through 17. If you'll learn to interact and keep that word will move you through the veil. That word will move you into the Father. And that word in you will keep you there. Even Solomon and Moses understood the wisdom of keeping the word. He said, attend unto my words. Give ear. Keep them in your heart. Keep in your mouth. Don't let them go. But these words have the power to pull you and all your baggage into the Father. Using and utilizing your faith, and these words have the power to take you into the Father, the Word will keep you there. If you went in by that Word will uphold you. I found I'm upheld in the Father's love by rest. Now, I can move in pretty readily, easily. I couldn't do it before, but that Word's upholding me now. I'm not yo-yoing like I used to. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Any of you seekers of God know the yo-yo? One minute you're on the mountain, one time in the valley. Mountain, valley, mountain, valley, mountain, valley. Uphold me, Father. Desire alone won't uphold you. You have to have that word. Learn to interact with that word. We teach you how to do that here. Okay, I'm gonna introduce phase three because you're gonna love this. Boy, when I saw this. Now the Lord's in the middle of a prayer. All of John 17 is the final prayer of the Lord. What's so amazing about this prayer is the Father is still answering this prayer. He'll answer this prayer for everyone that connects to it. But there is some very, very powerful things he's praying. Because he said, not only am I praying for you all that's in this room, I'm also praying for all that will believe on me through your words. And these words we received 2,000 years later, we get in on this prayer. I want you to hear this. It's very powerful. Now, this is phase three. This is what I've been looking at in the spirit now. Because I've been asking the Father about this. And there's some very powerful things here. I'm getting glimpses. And I'm liking it. See, I like it. Now, notice this in verse 11. John 17, verse 11. So, John 17 says, now, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Okay, so, his position is, this is where they are. They're going to come into salvation. They're going to come into the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but he says in the world. But what he's going to do, he's going to move them. Now listen to me very carefully because I'm going to show you something. He's going to move them from being in the world to being not of the world, to where he is, what he's been talking about. So he says, now I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thy own name those you've given me. Now look at verse 14. I have given them your words, and the world has hated them because now... Notice this. He's moving them to the next level because they are what? Not of this world. So they're in the world, but they're not of this world. Now he's going to tell them how to make their journey. All of it's here. Look at verse 16. They're not of the world as I'm not of the world. Now he's moving them to where he is. Now look at verse 17. This will set you free. It says, sanctify, set apart or separate them through truth, for thy word is truth. So he said, the way they're going to be separated to you, Father, is through these words. And this truth is going to bring them and set them apart from the world. That's phase one. Then it's going to separate the world from them. That's phase two. You're going to be separated from the world into the Father. And then through the Father's love, he's going to separate the world out of you. Because that's what John said. He goes, you cannot love the world and love the Father. If the Father's love is dwelling in you, it will not manifest by loving the world. You will love him. It's more powerful than the world. God's, the Father's love is more powerful than the world. When it's dwelling in you, you won't love the world. You'll love him. But he's got to do that work in you. So he's going to separate you unto the Father. Then what he's going to do is separate the world from you. Look at verse 18. This is powerful. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. Stop, look up. Now, how did the Father send the Son into the world? Well, he went through the Virgin Mary. That's not what he's talking about. Because he says, as you sent me to the world, he's not sending you through the Virgin Mary's womb. So he's not talking about his birth. That's not the sending he was talking about. Because in the same way, Father, you sent me, I'm going to send them. So he's not talking about the birth. He's talking about the separation to his calling. He lived 30 years and didn't do one. The Messiah, Son of God, lived 30 years on the earth, didn't do one recorded miracle until the Father sent him. He was here, but according to his words, the Father sent him. How did he say it? Now watch this. Listen to this very carefully. Look at John 8. If I judge, my judgment's true, verse 16. For I am not alone. Say, I'm not alone. I and the Father that sent me. Verse 29. He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. John 16, verse 32. This is how the Father sent him, by the way. Father, as you sent me, the hour cometh, yes. John 16, 32. Yes, you will all be scattered, every man to his own, and you shall leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone. Say, I'm not alone. The Father's with me. How did the Father send him? He went with him. The Father went with him when he ordained him. Holy Ghost fell upon him, and the Father came down to be with him. And he testified constantly in the book of John, I do not bear record of myself. I bear record of the one who sent me. And he that sent me is with me. I and my Father are one. These works that you see me do, I'm not doing. It's my Father that's dwelling in me in this jurisdiction with me that's doing these works. Everyone say amen. Why is that important? Father, in the same way you sent me and you were with me, I'm going to send them, and you're going to come with me. You're going to be with us. He said, if a man will keep my word, my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, will come make our what? Abode. This is what God is going to achieve with his people in this generation. Salvation, you're going to see, I hear the Father saying, you're going to see somebody from the world get saved. And in their first year, they're going to be able to enter the Father. Because he's going to accelerate the time and the wisdom. And they're going to be able to get from salvation straight to the Father. And the Father's going to love them, and he's going to pull the world out of them. And you know who's going to have a problem with it? The ones who've been in church for 50 years. The religious. Because the Father's going to pull the world out of them. He's going to restructure their soul because the Father's love does this so fast. If I told you stuff, he's changed in 3 months. Oh, my goodness. And when he does that, once he's made the preparation, then the Lord says he's waiting. Father, are we ready? The Father goes, no, we've got a lot more to go here. Just a couple more months. Are we ready? A couple more months. Are we ready? A couple more months. But this is why you got to dwell in love, not visit. Say dwell. Oh, I pray you hear these things. There is time when the Father has prepared your garden. And he says, we're ready. And the Lord says, Father, now, as you've sent me and you were with me, now I send them and we both go. And the Father himself comes down to dwell upon your tabernacle. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost dwelling in the midst. When this happens, we have shifted from the anointing that was in measure to full-blown without measure. The anointing without measure. And you know what? You're going to be able to sustain it. You know why? Because the Father already pulled the world out of you. And he pulled everything the enemy would have used. He pulled it out of you. That's why people that operate in the gift realm, you'll see them one day into the gift, and the next day, they are all messed up. You know why? Because he's using dysfunctional people. God does that. Well, when the Father comes and dwells, He's not dwelling in dysfunction. So the stuff the enemy would have used, the Father already pulled it out. You're not going to get that here. You're not going to get that kind of transformation here. Part of my journey was to figure out you can't get it here. You got to go to the Father. Say, go to the Father. Look at your neighbor. Go to the Father. Blessed is the man in whose heart are the highways of Zion, who passing to the valley of weeping, turn it into a pool. These go from strength to strength, and every one of them will appear in Zion before the Father. This church will make her whole journey to the Father. More of you will graduate in the Father this year, and the more we graduate, the wider that door opens. Just like the baptism of the Holy Ghost, hardly nobody could get it until Seymour came on the scene. And then it opened the whole world to it. And when the whole world opens, and faith has this way of corporately opening the veil, and somebody will walk up in here and they get born again. Did you know that before the Azusa Street outpouring, you just couldn't go get the Holy Ghost. Now we can get born again. That happened under Luther. We get filled with the Holy Ghost under Azusa and get healed the same day. And it took God 500 years to get that restoration back into the earth. And we can get it in one day when He gets this back and people start moving in. Then the manifested sons are going to be sent from the Father, and He's going to be with them. And they say, where did that glory come from? Where did that power come from? Where did this come from? Oh, this is the Father dwelling with us. You're going to meet Him today. Then we're going to teach you how to go find Him, how to dwell with Him. And then He's going to send you the same way. The age of the manifested sons and daughters of God are upon us. The mystery has been completed by His word. The journey is in process. The gates are opened. The gates are open. I am set like flint. The Lord said, He goes, you remember in football? I'm closing now. I said, yeah. He said, you remember 2 days? I said, yeah. He goes, we're about to start 2 days. You know what I mean? Morning and night. Big morning session, big night session. I said, I'd be glad to do it. He goes, we're about to start 2 days. He goes, but what's going to happen? It's already happened, I'm going to tell you, and I'm closing with this. The more you come up into the Father, every time He loves you, He's removing a layer of separation. Every time He peels that onion back, He's removing another layer, another layer. And it makes it easier and easier to get into Him. Where before you're carrying mountains of baggage to Him. That's the hardest part, getting your baggage to where He is. Now, I believe He's going to give us a lot of power. The manifested Son's coming back. It's going to be able to wipe away all this baggage so you can get in there faster. Amen? Quicker, easier, more efficient. But each time, another layer peeled away. And what He's doing is this. Romans 8, and I'll close with this. Last verse. For I am persuaded. Say, I am persuaded. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of our Father, which is in Christ. I am persuaded. The separation cannot hold me back anymore. The separation can't keep me from the Father anymore. You know the saddest people of all are the ones that are going to go to heaven and had missed this opportunity to know what was available to them, that did not overcome, that lived on this side of the Father's love all their life. What they could have become, because He's going to show everybody, had you made it into the Father and the Father restructured you and re-loved you and set His image in you, this is who you'd have been. I'm going to say this to you in closing. There are things in God, I don't care how hungry, how thirsty, how much knowledge you possess, that you simply can't attain on this side of the Father. There's a lot that you can obtain. There's a lot to Christianity. There's a lot of knowledge out there. But there is somebody that the Father has designed you to be. You cannot obtain His image of who He wants you to be on this side of Him. You can operate under the anointing. You can know the Holy Ghost. You can have knowledge. You can know the Lord. You can have ministry. You can have business. You can have a great family. But there are a level of image that you simply cannot obtain outside of dwelling with Him. And when you dwell with Him, He's going to set His own image in you. He's going to love you until He loves the world right out of you. And then He's going to come and you're going to carry His image. And you have a choice. In this church, I know where we're going, but you will have a choice to bear your image or the image of the Father. You can bear partial image. That was 1 Corinthians 13. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Say face to face. We have a choice. This is the vision God's setting. It's the challenge. The Holy Spirit setting. It's the challenge of the Lord Jesus. He didn't die just to save you. He died to reconcile you to the Father's love and for the Father to come and dwell. His ultimate goal is the restoration of Adam. Adam was restored to the love of the Father, but that wasn't the full restoration. The full restoration is the Father restored back to Adam in this jurisdiction, operating in dominion, in unbroken fellowship with the Father dwelling with Adam in the earth, operating in dominion. That's ultimate redemption. That's where we're going. Everyone say glory. Isn't this glorious? Aren't you glad you're in the middle of the mysteries? Swimming in mysteries? Better be careful. You have a devil that very much hates this kind of word. I promise you. You better keep your eyes wide open.
So when Pastor in closing used the word overcoming, I said that's the cue. So, you know, we're the if you're hearing these words, you're the Church of Philadelphia. And we're promised a crown, and it says, don't let a man take it from you. But right after that, in verse 12 in Revelation 3, it says, him that overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. And, you know, Pastor LaRue talked about, you know, God being with you because he's already purged all the dead trees, everything that's not of his nature. And if you allow God to do that work in you right now, if you pursue him, and that's what it's speaking of, him that overcomes, I'll make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall no more go out. In other words, God comes to dwell with you because he's already taken the old nature out.
Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to the Father. Seal this word. Keep your hedge around every heart, every mind. Don't let the enemy, Father, just keep him out. Keep him out, Father. Keep your hedge around these words till they come to fruition, Father. For the days of the manifested sons of God are fastly approaching. Do you know the Father has promised a generation to the Lord they're going to walk like him in the earth with an anointing and a glory and a mantle that's non-diminished from his, the same operation that he had, because he's going to come and dwell with you and set it up again.